Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. You know, there are days when you feel like you're getting a banquet, and there are other days when you feel like you're getting in-between meals snack. I'm just very struck by today, the Feast of Saint Cecilia. She was a wife to a pagan man, Valerian, and she catechized and did everything possible for her husband, and he too became Catholic. It is a marvelous story, and any time you get a chance to read about Saint Cecilia, do take a few days or hours at least to read about her. She died in the 3rd century. And I just really encourage you to become acquainted with her. The opening prayer said, "Behold, now she follows the Lamb who was crucified for us, powerful in virginity, modesty, her offering, a sacrifice on the altar of chastity." That's what the entrance antiphon tells us. So let's take a look at this life of Saint Cecilia. And the church gives us this for our first reading. It's a long one. From the prophet Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, and then 8 to 20. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and laid siege to Jerusalem. The Lord handed over to him Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and some of the vessels of the temple of God. He carried them off to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the temple treasury of his God. The king told Ashpenaz, his chief chamberlain, to bring in some of the children of Israel of royal blood and of the nobility, young men without any defect, handsome, intelligent, and wise, quick to learn and prudent in judgment, such as could take their place in the king's palace. They were to be taught the language and literature of the Chaldeans. After 3 years' training, they were to enter the king's service, and the king allotted them a daily portion of food and wine from the royal table. Among these were men of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But Daniel was resolved not to defile himself with the king's food or wine, so he begged the chief chamberlain to spare him this defilement. Though God had given Daniel the favor and sympathy of the chief chamberlain, he nevertheless said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king. It is he who allotted your food and drink. If he sees that you look wretched by comparison with the other young men of your age, you will endanger my life with the king." Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief chamberlain had put in charge of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then see how we look in comparison with the other young men who eat from the royal table, and treat your servants according to what you see." He acceded to this request and tested them for 10 days. After 10 days, they looked healthier and better fed than any of the young men who ate from the royal table. So the steward continued to take away the food and wine they were to receive and gave them vegetables. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and proficiency in all literature and science, and to Daniel the understanding of all visions and dreams. At the end of the time the king had specified for their preparation, the chief chamberlain brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. When the king had spoken with all of them, none was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and so they entered the king's service. In any question of wisdom or prudence which the king put to them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his kingdom. The word of the Lord. This story, you should read it over and over to see how God stands by those who are faithful to him and faithful to his word. It's a powerful message, and I want to encourage you, please, brothers and sisters, read God's word. Learn how more and more to live by it. The responsorial psalm is from Deuteronomy chapter 3, from Daniel chapter 3. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever, and blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever. Those who follow the Lord, those who listen to God's word, those who obey him, how much he gives grace to them. Please, brothers and sisters, if you're away from the church, if you never think much about the Lord, I really want to encourage you. Just start reading one chapter. Start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read them slowly, and then we'll take up the Psalms. But read those words very carefully, because God wants you to know him, and he is seeking to draw you to himself and to his word and to the power of his life. And we have a very short gospel here, Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, "I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood." Brothers and sisters, we are so loved by the Lord, and all he asks us to do, and I know it can be difficult, but he asks us to obey his commandments. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you follow them? And many of you might say, of course, but do you live by them? Do you follow them? God has given us the path to eternal life in his Ten Commandments. If we follow them, we will receive his blessing. Please, brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't sin externally, but we certainly have a lot of thoughts that go back and forth in our mind. We look down upon some other people. We don't talk to God very much, whatever that could be. Or in our own hearts, we're speaking against, so to speak, speaking against other people. Brothers and sisters, please come more and more under the reign of Jesus Christ, because he will bring to you a quiet and a peace and a happiness, and he will show you what to do through the power of his word. He will lead you. It doesn't mean he'll come and sit down with you and teach you a lesson every day. He doesn't have to. You just follow his word. The more you follow his word, the more you do, the more you are kind, the more you are charitable, God hears you. God sees you, and God will help you. He will help all of us. There's a short article by St. John Henry Newman that I want to share just a part of it for you. He says, "Let us take another instance of an outward and earthly form under which great wonders, unknown, seem to be typified. I mean musical sounds, as they are exhibited most perfectly in instrumental harmony. There are several notes in the scale. Make them 14. Yet what a slender outfit for so vast an enterprise. What science brings so much out of so little? Out of what poor elements does some great master in it create his new world? Shall we say that all this exuberant inventiveness is a mere ingenuity or trick of heart, like some game or fashion of the day without reality and without meaning? Is it possible that the inexhaustible evolution and disposition of notes, so rich and yet so simple, so intricate yet so regulated, so various yet so majestic, should be a mere sound which has gone and perishes? No, they have escaped from some higher sphere. They are the outpourings of eternal harmony in the medium of created sound. They are echoes from our home. They are the voice of angels, or the Magnificat of saints, or the living laws of divine governance, or the divine attributes. Something are they besides themselves, which we cannot compass, which we cannot utter, though moral man has the gift of eliciting them. What remains then but to make our prayer to the gracious and merciful God, the Father of lights, that in all our exercises of reason, his gift, we may thus use it as he would have us, in the obedience of faith, with a view to his glory, with a name at his truth, in dutiful submission to his law, to his will, for the comfort of his elect, for the edification of Holy Jerusalem, his church." Brothers and sisters, John Henry Newman, he was a cardinal. He was established in Birmingham, England. He was a preacher of great eloquence, and he was. Read the works, if you can, of St. John Henry Newman. You will be very blessed if you do. He will lead you in the right path. I know we have all kinds of different saints we may be attracted to, but I ask you to take a look at St. Newman, really. Take a look at him and what he preached and taught. God loves you. Do you know that? Right where you are right now, if you're listening to this program and you say, "Oh, I'm sure God loves so-and-so or so-and-so, but he doesn't love me." That's not true. God loves you. Even if you've made great mistakes in life, even if you've had to suffer for them, turn to the Lord, ask him, and he will give you help. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.